You are listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Films. For more, visit our website at www.megiddofilms.org. Good everybody, welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for the 5th of March 2016. Thank you all for tuning in. On this week's show, we're going to be talking again about Michael Brown. Now, for those of you not aware, maybe this is the first radio show you've ever listened to, Michael Brown is a very well-known, charismatic leader and a very well-respected apologist in the charismatic movement. He's very much on the Wayne Grudem, John Piper end of the charismatic movement, well-respected, sober-minded, doesn't teach any damnable heresies that I'm aware of, I believe he's a sincere believer. I don't think he's a false prophet or anything like that. But the thing is, and we've talked about Michael Brown in previous shows, dealing with the charismatic movement and various problems with the Brownsville Revival and things like that. Well, you know, I don't know where... Yeah, it scares me with Michael Brown sometimes, the fact that he was one principal, and I'm going to go through his article that he wrote recently there. He was one of the principal, four principal men. I just even quote his own article here. I am one of the four principal leaders who served in the Brownsville Revival. The so-called Brownsville Revival. We've played it on other shows, so I'm not going to play it again. I think I did a show called Does Michael Brown Have Spiritual Discernment? Did another show called Charismatic Hypnotists. At least a title to that effect. Can't remember the exact title, but if you go to MegiddoRadio.com and type in the word hypnotists or charismatic, I think it was a couple of months ago I did that, but I digress. Anyway, Michael Brown has been called, rightly so, very much the critic of critics. What I mean by that is if anybody rightly criticizes the charismatic movement, he goes after them by name. However, I've never seen him name a charismatic false teacher and say that this is the person he's talking about. And he always says in the Line of Fire radio show, we've dealt with these issues. We deal with these issues. But it's very general. And when they do, they never mention anybody by name. A couple of days ago, I think it was two days ago, Michael Brown put out an article on Charisma Magazine, which is the charismatic one of the magazines. I think it started back in the 1970s, pushed most of the charismatic agenda into the mainline denominations. But he wrote an article called Gullibility: The Great Sin of the Charismatic Church. And this is why I'm doing this show. I was planning to do another show, but I'm going to be doing, Lord willing, for next Monday. So if you keep that in your prayers, I'm hoping to get out more material through MegiddoRadio.com. But Michael Brown, in an article, Charisma Magazine, admits to the incredible gullibility of the charismatic movement, and various blogs and other people have commented and agreed with it. The problem is, does it go far enough? And no, it doesn't. He writes in the article, I'm not going to read all of it. He says, "How can we be so foolish? I am an unashamed Pentecostal charismatic believer, a lifelong tongue speaker since January 24th, 1972. One of the four principal leaders who served in the Brownsville Revival, the author of an in-depth scholarly treatment of divine healing, the man who wrote Authentic Fire in response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire," and I'm hoping to go through his materials maybe at some stage in the future. I did a movie dealing with, it wasn't completely about the charismatic movement, but it dealt with the charismatic movement a large amount and how we got where we got and how we are where we are with this movement, which boasts 500 million people. And this is something that Michael Brown can't get his head around, is that this thing he's dedicated almost his entire Christian life to, is it apostate? Is it severely in error? And he's, make no mistake about it, he's dedicated his life towards it. He says since 1972 he's been speaking in tongues. But we won't get into that here, but I've spent other shows talking about the gibberish that people say is biblical tongues, and it doesn't fit the biblical description. He says in another paragraph, next, skipping down, he says he's an insider, skipping down. Yet I am terribly ashamed of our folly, our gullibility, our lack of discernment, our failure to test all things by the word, our carnality and our openness to being duped, deceived, and defrauded. Amen and amen. And then he goes on to say, which kind of, you know, it's, if you're so gullible, why should anybody listen to you? If you're that gullible, and he includes himself, how can we be so foolish? Why should we listen to? Just look at, before I get on with this article, let's look at the history of the charismatic movement. If you go back through church history, and you go from the 2nd century onwards, after the close of the canon of scripture, all you find are fringe heretical groups. That's all you find. You find the Montanists in the 2nd to around the 5th or 6th century. The most famous Montanist is Tertullian, and most people will admit that that was when the church was in trouble. I mean, Tertullian was the only exception, and there was lots of problems in the early church. I think sometimes we can over-romanticize the early church. Errors crept in straight away. Study the letters of Paul dealing with various issues in the church. Look at Corinth and how many problems they were dealing with. They were in virtually, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and et cetera and so on. You see the problems that was facing the Corinthian church. So sometimes we can over-romanticize the early church and think, oh, let's get back to the first century. There were sinful people in first century churches as well. And did Paul say, well, abandon those churches? No. Now, and then he says, with good reason, men like Pastor MacArthur have taken aim at us, even if their criticisms were unbalanced and inaccurate. Based on the testimony, based on your opinion, and you admit that your movement is gullible. You know, it's funny, whenever Michael Brown tries to clarify or fix things or whatever, he digs a bigger hole for himself. And just to clarify, I do believe Michael Brown is sincere. I believe what I mean by sincere is I think he's the same person at home as he is on the radio show, as he is anywhere. I think he's 100% genuine. That's just what I could I be wrong? Sure. My issue with him is I don't think he's a charlatan or anything like that. Benny Hinn is a complete and utter liar. Anybody believes him is a fool. Michael Brown is sincere. You know, Benny Hinn lives the rich lifestyle, spending, I don't know, thousands on hotels, and NBC did a little short piece on this man's lifestyle. He doesn't serve God, he serves the devil. Now, he talks about corrupt fundraising. Anyway, he admits, right? He admits the movement is gullible. At the end of the article, he includes himself. He says, it's high time for this nonsense to stop, beginning with each of us reading this article, me included, he's saying, searching our own hearts and lives. So he's saying he's in a gullible movement. What does this tell you? What does Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 onwards says, until the end of the chapter, "For when by the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So he's saying to the author of Hebrews is writing here, and he's saying, at this time, you should be teachers. But there's a need for one to teach you again. The first principles, the basics of the faith. Milk. This is, a baby's on milk until he's on solid food. "For each one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Unskillful in the word? Another word for that? Gullible. "For everyone that uses milk, he's a babe," it says, verse 14, "but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." They're mature. They're not gullible. What will they do? They will consult the word of God. They will not be reckless. "Even those who by reason of have their senses exercised to discern good and evil." That is the sign of a mature person. You have discernment. And I've done another show on Michael Brown as well. I don't know how long, was it 6 months ago? Maybe I did it. He clearly has no discernment. Just like, and I mentioned two other people who are on the sober end, the non-crazy end of the charismatic movement. And I do think these people are brethren in the Lord. As, you know, brethren can mess up. A huge difference to somebody like Benny Hinn. But if you take something like John Piper was on with Rick Warren. Rick Warren? And interviewing him and basically putting a seal of approval upon his book. Oh, what was it called again? The Purpose-Driven Life. Reading quotes from it and even suggesting that it was Calvinistic. Wow. If you can't spot this, should you be in any way teaching anyone? No. You should be learning first principles again. You shouldn't be in that position. Wayne Grudem recently said that Marco Rubio, a Roman Catholic running for the president of the United States, trying to get the Republican nomination, clearly won't get it, but I digress. But he said, I don't know if they've got the article in front of me, that Marco Rubio is a saved Christian, even though he's a Roman Catholic who believes Roman Catholic doctrine, and he's admitted this. You can go on and on. There's no discernment in the charismatic movement, and Michael Brown admits this, but he's so clung onto the charismatic movement that he's not willing to point it out. See, why doesn't he criticize Benny Hinn properly? Why doesn't he name names? Because I think he knows deep down that it'll be like a dominoes effect. If you start criticizing this, even his own Brownsville revival, and I've played clips of this, and it looks like something out of a Benny Hinn revival, or quote-unquote revival. Slaying the spirit, people falling over, howling like animals, all this kind of stuff. This is the Michael Brown who's so well-respected. Why? Why, James White, do you have Michael Brown on your show? I agree he's very good on homosexuality, but so are tons of people. Oh man, I'm just like, where? I think I know why James White has him on. People are just so enamored with academia. This person has this degree. And it's funny, Michael Brown gets a pass. And I am not for a lot of the people who would be in the, a lot of, you know, the King James only movement. And that's kind of, I don't know, how would you put it? I use the King James. I believe it's the best translation, but I don't go as far as a lot of these other people who believe, you know, translations are from the devil and things like that. I think there's bigger issues at the moment. That's just me. I will deal with that issue at some stage. But the most scathing attacks by James White just seems to be on people of that persuasion. I don't agree with it. But the way he tears into them, and then he's buddies with people who blaspheme the word of God, like Islamic scholars, and people like Michael Brown. The only common denominator I can find is they have a fancy degree. Maybe I'm wrong. And I have watched I've listened to hours of his Dividing Line. Anyway, I digress. I think we especially, like, there's a lot of Reformed Baptists who place a lot of, this guy doesn't have any discernment. Same with John Piper. And some of the biggest errors today are coming through John Piper. People like Timothy Keller, and I'm hoping to do something in Timothy Keller some stage in the future. I would just love if people would get back. I mean, we have so many. We were so blessed nowadays with brilliant, not brilliant authors today. There's not many of them around. There are some good people. I mean, Joel Beakey's a very good author. We were Reformation Heritage Books. But I'm talking about the Puritans, so many of them are in print. Thomas Watson. You know, if you like find some things and you're a new Christian, you find things very hard to read, read Thomas Watson, Ten Commandments. Very pastoral, very question and answers. Get a good catechism. You know, the Westminster Standards has a larger and shorter catechism. How will we get back? Oh, we skip that. We think, and we have this mentality of the church has been wrong for the last 2,000 years. Michael Brown's article, I want to stay focused on this now. He says, he talks about corrupt fundraising. He says, quite a few years ago, I had to stop watching certain Christian TV shows or even networks because of corrupt fundraising that would take place as biblical holy days were exploited for sacrificial offerings and manipulative fundraising worked their magic. And he's quite willing, and I have no problem with him, tearing into like CNN if they're inaccurate or whatever, that's fine. But then he says in brackets, I'm not mentioning names here because I've tried to reach out to some of these men privately. Why? Their teachings and their folly, okay, you can do it privately as well, I'm all for that, but you should do it publicly. These men have not repented, and they need to, and even if they did repent, they can't just repent privately. They have to repent, but if they're running a ministry, they should tell all their followers, if they want to stop teaching something or whatever, what I taught was heresy, and I was wrong, or I was lying, or I was up to my eyeballs in demonic deception. One of the above. He says, I have not mentioned names because I've tried to reach out to some of these men privately and will do so again before saying more. He doesn't do it. He contacts, you know, dealing with the whole Hillsong thing and the homosexual members. My issue was that they were not even just part of the choir or anything like that. Church shouldn't have a choir, though, the whole congregation should sing. But my issue was that they were accepted members. I can't remember where Josh Canfield and Reed Kelly, I can't remember where they were baptized. I think they were baptized. But they were treated as members, treated as Christians in the visible church by Hillsong. That was my problem. You know, people say, oh, but it wasn't in leadership. Doesn't matter. Now, can a homosexual come to a church? Yes, you open your doors to sinners of all stripes, both kind of failures. Paul, for example, was a murderer. However, he consented to the murder of many Christians. Or Stephen, he was there holding, he was there consenting. Now, we should open our doors that they would repent, but not support them in their folly. he doesn't call out any names. Why not? He never does. He always claims he will. And he criticized those who criticized Hillsong. Hillsong, just to give you a little brief, and I've done a show on it before, but Hillsong, New York City. And the pastor there, his name escapes me right now, but that, and Brian Houston, who's in Australia, I don't know how he can know about every single congregation. Is he some kind of Hillsong Pope? Well, he pretty much is, if we're being honest. That they didn't know anything about it. And there was much data came out to prove that Brian Houston was lying. Or at least suffering from Alzheimer's or something, or amnesia. And what does Michael Brown do? He criticizes and calls internet rumors. Now, it came out later that, so I think it was from NBC, or I think it was ABC. Anyway, I have it on the YouTube channel. If you type in Hillsong or Brian Houston, you'll find it. I play the clip in a quick vlog, and I just played it. Give a little bit of commentary on it. That proved Brian Houston knew there was homosexuals in the church and in the choir. He even admitted it. So he tells you that. This is in November of 2014, I think. Around then, anyway. But what... And Michael Brown has seen the clip. Somebody posted, put a comment on his Facebook page, ask Dr. Brown. Yeah, I think they posted the video, and he said he's seen the video, and it's worrying. But he never took back his slander of those who criticized Hillsong. All he could say was, well, I've talked to Hillsong, I've contacted Hillsong, you know, words to this effect at least, and, well, they say they haven't done it, so they haven't done it. Again, it's like asking the burglar who's just robbed your TV, who's just robbed all your savings, gone to their house and say, have you stolen from me? And the burglar said, no. Oh, sorry, you know, I shouldn't have thought the worst of you, even though, you know, all the evidence points towards you. And it's completely obvious, but we're just going to ask. I mean, that is gullible. And Michael Brown, you are completely correct. Yes, the charismatic church, the great sin of the charismatic church is gullibility. So why on earth should we listen to you? You don't have any discernment. And by virtue of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 14, nobody should be listening to you. I am not calling you a false brethren or anything like that. I think you're sincere, but I think you're sincerely wrong. And your life and your Christian walk has been colored by experience and emotion. Just take one look at the Brownsville Revival. I don't think people realize how crazy that so-called revival was. What are we supposed to do with false teachers? I mean, look at what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Did he say, oh, I'm just going to contact them privately? You know, the Pharisees are teaching heresy. Because they were part of the visible church back then. You know, the kingdom of God was not taken from them at that point. They were still, externally at least, part of the kingdom. But then they were cast out. You know, The ceremony's finally been completely destroyed in 70 AD. Of course, the inner veil was rent after the resurrection of Christ, or the death of Christ. But what does Jesus say to false teachers? I'm sorry, this is actually John, but we'll go with John. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits, therefore fruits meet for repentance. Does he say, well, I know some insiders of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they say he's a godly man. Everyone in Israel thought the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though Israel was apostate by this point, believed that these were godly men. And what does Michael Brown do when he goes on Benny Hinn from 2 years ago in 2014? He asks, he even said this, that he talked to somebody from their ministry school, and he said, oh, many of the allegations are exaggerated and things like this. And he's talked to some people, Hain insiders. Oh, of course, they're going to be completely balanced. They're going to be completely unbiased, and they're not just going to back the person that they work for. Oh, this is just, of course. It beggars belief. Of the hypocrisy. I think this article is hypocritical. Christ said to remove the log out of your own eye. If you're involved in a sin and you're criticizing other people for that sin, of course, yeah, he included himself. Anyway. Oh, man. So does he say lovely vipers? Does he say lovely serpents? No. John, and this is, you know, you can quote Jesus as well. Another part, like Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Chapter 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you be evil? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He identified publicly false teachers, and they were in leadership. Michael Brown says, no, just... The fact to say Jesus is wrong. What? He should have just contacted him privately and given him time to repent. How is that working with Benny Hinn? So he talks about corrupt fundraising. Basically charlatans just getting money. Claiming, you know, name it and claim it. You give a certain amount of money, you will get this back. And if you don't get it, blame them for lack of faith. He talks about, I'm going to skip on to the middle part of the article. It's another thing for the same person to keep fleecing the flock over and over again without enough people catching on and putting him out of business. So, I'm going to go back a little bit. When will we learn? He talks about these people, frauds on TV, never names any names, just gives, kind of said, oh, it's like a spiritful circus. Just like the Brownsville Revival, again. How you determine that, again, you're putting things in worship that are not commanded by the Word of God. A violation of the Second Commandment, but in the next show I'm hoping to cover that. Lord willing, that will be up Monday. So, Monday the 7th of March, hopefully that will be up, dealing with a Pathos article. So it's another thing for the same person to keep fleecing the flock over and over. So he talks about, yeah, you should repent, and we pray that these people repent. We pray that these false teachers like Creflo Dollar, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Rick Joyner, we pray that these people will repent and believe the gospel. It's one thing for the same person to keep fleecing the flock over and over without enough people catching on and putting him out of business. So he's saying, well, we should be putting him out of business. And he's saying he knows some people in this, but he won't put him out of business. What an utter hypocrisy. He knows plenty of these people. He knows this movement. As one person said, you know, about his excuse that he didn't know Benny Hinn was and they weren't in the same circles and all this yada yada, that Benny Hinn is like Madonna. You don't just kind of not know who the person is. All you gotta do is watch two minutes of one of his clips. So he says, putting them out of business, but he says, I've talked to these people privately, but no, not mentioning any names. I pray that he will change that, and I pray in the future he will. Plenty of opportunity. 2 years later, he still doesn't know if Benny Hinn is a complete charlatan. 2 years! I don't have time to research this, but he can write a book in 3 weeks. Really? You can't do it. Any bit of research on him. And at the same time, like, Michael Brown is admitting we should not listen to people from, he's not saying this, but we shouldn't listen to people from the charismatic movement Because they're gullible. They are not skillful in the word. That is the biblical standard by this. And they should not be... Somebody who's not apt to teach, skillful, and it's another way of saying that, are not to be bishops or overseers or pastors or teachers or whatever. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and this is the important part, apt to teach, skillful. They must be skillful in the word. Come on, if you're going to teach, you got to be skillful in the word. If you're gullible, you're not skillful in the word. You are not, you cannot discern good from evil. We've shown on this show before, Michael Brown does not have spiritual discernment. I want to return to Michael Brown's appearance on the Benny Hinn show, highlighting, you know, where Michael Brown is and how he views the charismatic movement. He has no discernment for it. And that's why he will say that the problems in the charismatic movement, the extremes, are just a tiny minority, which was his criticism of John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference and the book and all this kind of thing. Now, I am not, to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of what happened at Strange Fire. It could have been done with a bit more brokenness. I didn't say anything about the Strange, I don't think I did anyway. When the Strange Fire Conference happened, when was it? A couple years ago, anyway. I didn't say anything about it. There was just too much joking. Todd Free was there cracking jokes. And I was just, seriously, these people need help. And the last thing there was just too much silliness. This is spiritual deception. And there are brethren, I believe, there are plenty of brethren within those churches. I don't know what percentage, I'd say the minority. Especially having met many charismatics over the years. Having been said, well, how do you know? And been confronted about tongues and all this kind of stuff in the first year or two I was saved. That's why I did the film of Chaos and Confusion, The Modern Church. That is on YouTube and you can watch it for free. You don't have to pay anything for it. And I did that film, what is it, September 2012 it came out. And the reason I did was because it was constantly, people were saying it and all this kind of thing. Now, it's not the only thing I deal with in the film, and I don't want to just kind of say charismatic movement is the only reason for the problems in the church. It's not. But it is certainly a fruit of a departure from the Word of God, a departure from Sola Scriptura, and a departure from sound exegesis. It seems Michael Brown, speaking about gullibility, believes that Benny Hinn doesn't, for example, Michael Brown doesn't believe Benny Hinn teaches the little gods doctrine anymore. A few days ago, on Michael Brown's show in the line of fire, a caller rings in. He put this on his YouTube. A caller rings in and asks him about his appearance on Benny Hinn, and rightly, he is worried. Let's play this clip and we'll comment.
Let's go to Western Virginia. Timothy, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, Dr. Brown,
to express
a concern that I have. I've just been reading up not too long ago. You had an interview with Benny Hinn, if I'm not mistaken. Since we're in the line of talking about potential false doctrine, and you know, right away people can recognize who Benny Hinn is and the doctrine that he seems to be portraying. I'm just wondering. I haven't seen the interview or anything. I don't even know what it was. It was a dialogue or something. My question is, what is your stance on that? Because that kind of alerted me once I saw that that you were in like direct contact with him.
See the kind of, I'm just to comment a little bit here. See the message that Michael Brown has given to somebody like that. That places, unless the only time, like, you could go on Benny Hinn's show. I actually do believe this. You could go on there and then you call him on his false doctrine. You have no other business being there. Confrontational. That is the only thing. Don't be buddy-buddy with him. Now, of course, if he did that, it probably wouldn't have aired. I don't know if it's live or not. I think he did actually, Michael Brown did say later on, he did cut his one of the segments. But anyway, let's play.
From my understanding, I thought he was a false teacher, since one of the things he teaches that we're little God, and right away, you know, that's one of the many things that
Yeah, just out of curiosity, by the way, I fully welcome your call, and I'm very happy to interact with you on it. But you know the little God's teaching, which I actually played on my radio a couple years ago against him. He renounced that over 20 years ago. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but a lot of the most extreme teachers.
So he played it. Now, let's get this clear. Let's look at some of the things he taught. Now, to my knowledge, he doesn't teach this publicly anymore. I still think he believes it. And I think it's too controversial for him to bring it up anymore, and it probably affects his revenue. I don't think he's going to put this out publicly. Many cult teachers are just going to, you know, avoid certain things that will cause controversy and things like that. He's had plenty of it over the years. He taught at one point, this is back in 1990, he said, "Man, I feel revelation knowledge coming on me here. Something new is going to happen here today. I felt it just," this is back in 1990, "I felt it just as I walked down here. Holy Spirit, take over in the name of Jesus. God the Father, ladies and gentlemen, in a person. And he is the triune being by himself, separate from the Holy, separate from God and the Holy Ghost. Hear it, hear it, hear it." He says, skipping on a bit, God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. But each one of them is a triune being by himself. If I shock you, and maybe I should, there's 9 of them. He believes there's 9 members of the Godhead. It's just, yeah. I have the comments, the claimed retraction. There's problems with this, though, from 20 years ago. Number one, if you taught that heresy, and he did, and it's irrefutable, he did teach this. People just say, oh, is it irresponsible? It's satanic. And by teaching that, you are proving you are a complete false teacher. If you do that, the only way you can make it right is, I don't know, resign, at least. But even if he didn't do that, tell everyone. Not just in an interview in Charisma in 1983 that you can pull out of thin air. Tell everyone, put it on whatever, publish it. I think this little God's theology is heresy. It's an damnable heresy. Has he ever done that? No, not to my knowledge, ever. But people keep going back to this. Benny Hinn, I've seen this from various charismatics trying to say, oh, Benny Hinn's okay now because he's renounced this. There's tons of other stuff. Has he renounced everything? Has he become a sound teacher after 1993? Hello? No, he hasn't. Has he stopped raking up massive bills? Is he living in a huge mansion? Living like a rap star or some kind of pop star? He's not living like a Christian. And I'm not saying you have to live in abstract poverty, but come on. He's, look at the NBC program on Benny Hinn if you don't believe how much of a charlatan he is. Now, he said, this is Hinn back in 1993, Saint Charisma magazine, "God is shaking me. He's making dramatic changes inside of me. The Lord is showing me some things that I have been wrong about." Been wrong about? This is not like, oh, I got the millennium wrong. This is utter heresy. And for anybody to believe that you're a God man, this is what he taught people, and got him to repeat it, you are a God man. That is a false, damnable heresy. At that point, the only thing, if you say, well, I got saved. I was a heathen. The 1980s, 1990s, Kenneth Copeland, Hagen, all those people, they are lost. How do I say that? Because they believe they're God. They believe the lie of the devil. They believe the devil, they don't believe God. Now, you say, okay, he doesn't believe that anymore. Does that mean he's now a believer? Has he come to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a salvation testimony since 1993? It doesn't appear that there is. So he's making dramatic change now. It's like, at one point I taught certain things. At one point, he taught it for years, such as the little God's teaching and Jesus dying spiritually. Now I have quit teaching such things, and I have made it clear that I no longer believe them. Well, it hasn't been clear, and I've searched and searched and searched. This is the only mention of it. This is the only thing they go back to. I think it's too hot of a theology to deal with. This is not in isolation. Just grab a few quotes here. This is all over the charismatic movement. Kenneth Hagin taught that, quote, man was designed or created by God to be the God of this world. Charles Capps, and this ties in with dominionism. Something that Rafael Cruz teaches, and father of Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz was, this is why Christians, you gotta be very careful before you go jumping up too much on board with the Ted Cruz campaign. I'm not advocating any of the candidates, by the way. Just give you Kenneth Copeland. We have all the capabilities of God. Kenneth Hagin. God has made us the same class of being that he is himself. God took him something of himself and put it into man. Man was master. Man lived on terms equal to God. This is the end of the weakness message. Maurice Cirello, is that how you pronounce his name? Did you know that from the beginning of time, the whole purpose of God was to reproduce himself? Who are you? But the expression of all that God is. And when we stand up here, brother, you're not looking at Maristrello, you're looking at God. Let's put this in context. Michael Aquino, when he was on the Oprah Winfrey show, about 20 years ago. I'm quoting here actually from Dave Hunt's book, Occult Invasion, which he wrote back in the 1990s. I'm not a big fan of Dave Hunt, by the way, because of the last book he wrote. Well, anyway, What Love Is This kind of ruined a lot of the good books he had written. But anyway, for a lot of people, we are not servants of some god; we are our own gods. He said, "We are gods." Shirley MacLaine, when she was Kenneth Copeland and Paul Crouch. Said that you are a little god, declared Kenny Copeland and Benny Hinn on TBN. I am a little god, exults Paul Crouch on international television. And Dave Hunt says, and condemns to hell the heresy hunters who say this teaching isn't biblical. It's satanic. This is the stuff that the Church of Satan teaches. Do you think the Satanists are saved? Doesn't matter what they say. If you believe that, can you possibly? So what we should be looking for is that Benny Hinn is even saved. There's no indication from 1983 onwards, if he has actually, and I can't find any instances of him teaching it, not teaching it, or whatever. This is the only thing of him, you know. And here's the reason why we shouldn't believe this. We shouldn't believe this. We shouldn't believe Benny Hinn, because you would be gullible to believe Benny Hinn. Why? Because he's a liar and he's been proven to lie by plenty of liberal media have looked into him and shown what a charlatan he is. In the same article, and this will emphasize why anybody's foolish to believe that Benny Hinn has repented. Are you kidding me? I think he's toned down certain things because they're too controversial. But that's it. When talking about the name it and claim it theology or prosperity gospel, all this kind of stuff, I don't believe confessing the word works the way I taught it in the past. So he's also saying he changed that. He hasn't, by the way. Of course, he says, we should believe and confess God's word, but I don't believe we can just confess any scripture and make it happen. Hinn also emphasized that he believes, quote, the Bible is the only authoritative source of divine revelation. And a broken clock is right twice a day. There are times when he says things that are biblical. It depends on the audience he's in front of. Come on, Rick Warren does exactly the same thing. He changes. When he's in front of John Piper, he'll talk differently. When he's in front of Muslims, he talks differently. When he's in front of Roman Catholics, he talks differently. When Benny Hinn is in front of different audiences, in front of different people, he talks differently. And only the gullible, like Michael Brown, and he's admitting this, he actually tells you he's part of this. Yet more reasons we should not listen to Michael Brown, because he called a couple of years ago, and he's still maintaining this, Mike Bickle, and we've looked at Mike Bickle a little bit on the radio show a few weeks ago, dealing with Ted Cruz's Dominionism, and Lou Engle, a man of God. I mean, just to emphasize Brown and how oblivious he is to this, and I'm going to go back to the clip from The Line of Fire in a second, that back in, he put up a Facebook post, he says, let's just say that Benny Hinn is as bad as some of you say. He doesn't believe it at all. He doesn't believe it. Anyway, sorry, getting back to name and claim of theology, he says he doesn't believe that anymore. As of, and this is 2014, over 20 years later, this is an article by Justin Peters in response to Michael Brown's gullibleness. And again, Michael Brown has admitted this. He's telling you, and there's only one thing to point out. He doesn't have any discernment. And again, we've looked at that before in previous shows. Does he... Like, he claimed in that same 1993 Charisma interview that he doesn't believe the name and claim it anymore. This is at least of the morning of February 3rd, 2014. And he still teaches stuff like this. I mean, come on. Activating God's favor with your faith. It's all about money at the end of the day for a lot of these people. He said, and this is what Hinn wrote. If you want favor in your home, your job, your family situations, even opportunities, and inheritances that will arise in 2014, you must begin planting now. Harvest and favor always follow seed time. Without planting, there is no harvest. It says, step out in faith now and send your most generous offering, and then begin expecting your own unprecedented miracle. Seriously, but people don't want to... Anyway, sorry. Remember the promise in God's word. Now he quotes 2 Corinthians 9:10. God will multiply your seed gift as he will sow towards you the spreading of the gospel. Guaranteed. He also, right after Michael Brown was on his show, he had another person on by the name of I don't have the name in front of me here. Anyway, he's going to keep emphasizing, he repudiated that 20 years ago. But he also said the same thing about the name and the claim it, that, quote, I don't believe confessing God's word works in the way I taught in the past. He still does. He still teaches it. There's nothing to indicate by his fruits, that's what John the Baptist was going by. I mean, Sadducees and the Pharisees were coming forward to get baptized, and he said, call them vipers. There's nothing to indicate. I mean, let's play on with this clip.
Hank Hanegraaff got involved with him over 20 years ago. Of course, Hank would still differ with Benny Hinn, but he renounced some of the false teaching over 20 years ago and never brought it up since. I asked some of his critics, just bringing it up more recently. Nonetheless, plenty of people have big problems with Benny Hinn. His fundraising, they would say his lifestyle, they would say other aspects of his doctrine. So here's what happened. And it may have been a complete mistake, to be honest with you, okay?
It's over 2 years, and he still doesn't know if it's been a mistake going on the Benny Hinn show. Look, if people can make mistakes, and if he just said, I shouldn't have gone on that show, I would have a lot of respect for him. But no, he's still saying it may have been. He still hasn't checked it out. Justin Peters has done a rake of articles showing the heresies he's taught, and he claims to have looked at it. I mean, Benny Hinn one time claimed he and a Catholic priest channeled the power of God to heal practically every patient in a hospital in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. Claimed to have a video of Jesus walking around in one of his meetings. When asked to show the video, his staff said it has been misplaced. Said he went into trance. I'm just going to try and find the thing about Catherine Kuhlman. He's never ever... He still worships Catherine Kuhlman and a lot of weird stuff. Kind of even necromancy and... Oh, man, I just... Now, to be fair, yes, there hasn't... I can't find anything prior to post-1993, but there's nothing to indicate that he's repented. He still teaches... We would be foolish to believe Benny Hinn. Because he's still a charlatan. He's still living an immoral lifestyle. All these stories with him and Paula White and things like this, I mean, ugh. He claimed that an image of Jesus appeared on the wall of his church and stayed for 8 weeks. This is Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn says, even the people who studied the Shroud of Turin came to see the image. The mouth of Jesus would move, the Lord's mouth would move. But his mouth would only move as I was preaching. You could go on and on as you were... He is a cesspool of false teaching. And every now and again he says something true and then people post that. The fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were right from time to time, and they were. I mean, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. Did that make them orthodox? No! And did that prevent them from being false teachers called out publicly? Now, people are going to twist Matthew 18 and keep doing that. Matthew 18 is somebody who has faulted you privately, personally, you only. Just say, I don't know, somebody said something hurtful, but it only affected me. Well, I go to that person. I don't make it public because it hasn't been taught. But this is public teaching. Of course it has to be rebuked and corrected publicly. It undoes all the New Testament, the Old Testament as well, public preaching or anything else, calling men everywhere to repent.
What happened was this. Some folks I know for years, young people I've known for years, got close with his ministry. And one of the guys actually traveled with him for a while and said to me, Dr. Brown, you should really get to know him. He's misunderstood. He's misrepresented. He really...
Then your student is... I don't know what to say about his student. Because his student said, oh, he's misunderstood. You got to get him to know him personally. That's like saying, you know what? The devil is misunderstood. Get to know the devil. When I was involved and when I was getting into Luciferianism, and I was, and Satanism and things like this, and I was only barely touching the surface, I didn't get as far as anything like sacrifices or anything like that, mainly with the music. But I remember one of the most prominent themes in metal music was, the devil is misunderstood if you just get to know him. See it from his point of view! Why are we... Again, I think he's... You know what? I will probably buy his book on homosexuality, quote from it, and... But the guy has zero discernment. He cannot discern good from evil. He's a babe. In Christ. academically very smart. But he's admitting that the movement is filled with, at best, children, spiritual children. And look at, compare that church he's admitting is gullible with the Reformed Church, you know, the Reformation, things like that, which was careful, which walked circumspectly, as we're commanded to do in, let's get the quote in front of me, Ephesians chapter 5, anyway. Oh, here it is. Ephesians chapter 5 is verse 12 or something. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We're supposed to walk, and I'm going to return to that article in a little bit, but I just want to look at a few things here from his continual semi-whitewashing, because there's only so much whitewashing you can do with Benny Hinn. It's just, he has to claim ignorance.
He does preach a message about Jesus. He lives a holy life. You should get to know him, I think.
He lives a holy life? Ugh, we don't have enough time, but seriously. Gullible. Your student is gullible, even according to your standards.
If you sat down over a cup of coffee, I don't drink coffee, but sat down over a cup of coffee, you'd both benefit from it, you know? So that meant a lot that it came from that person. Now, on the other hand, in terms of many Christians look on media, the preeminent, most famous false prophet, false teacher in the world today. I mean, that's how a lot of them look at him. So, I mean, you got kind of both extremes. So what happened was I got an invitation to be on his TV show to talk about Jesus in the Old Testament, messianic prophecy, things like that, as well as to discuss the issue of hyper-grace. And I know that Joseph Prince, who I welcome as a brother but deeply differ with some of his teaching, that he's really big on TBN, and Benny Hinn is really big on TBN. So I thought, well, I could kill two birds with one stone. I could get to
TBN, and I know people say, oh, this person was on TBN. TBN is filled with false prophets. Filled with false prophets.
Meet Benny Hinn personally and spend time with him. I could really see where he's coming from, and I could speak to his audience, and I could raise my concerns about hyper grace. Now, I thought there's a flip side as negative. If I go on there, I'm going to discredit myself to a lot of people. But I thought, you know what? It's worth the risk if I could get to know him, and on a personal level.
Well, forget about what people think. What does the Bible say? You can go to several places. Romans chapter 16. Just want to quote two scriptures. You know, let's listen to the word of God rather than our feelings, because this is common practice with charismatics. They're always going with their feelings. Constantly. And they say anybody who's not being led by their feelings is kind of a cold, cynical. And I'll deal with that in a little bit. Romans 16, 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, and avoid them. We're supposed to avoid them. And if you do see them, call them to repentance. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faith word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I mean, how many places does the Bible have to deal with false teachers? Peter talks about it. There shall be false teachers among you. There's warnings of false teachers among the brethren. And what are we supposed to do? Have a cup of tea with them, understanding from their point of view? Where does it say to do that? Again, you know, in my metal, in my dark days before the Lord graciously saved me by his grace, one of the things that the satanic Luciferian movement, all that, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, especially Lucifer, we didn't really believe in Satan or the devil, But Lucifer was cast out of heaven, was misunderstood, and God was the real tyrant. You got to listen to Lucifer. We haven't heard his point of view. And this was seen, I mean, there was criticism of Hillsong, and Michael Brown finds any way to whitewash Hillsong that's possible. Hillsong were criticized over their slutty, hoary rendition of Silent Night. Don't play it, don't even watch it. I mean, it's not great to watch. I mean, it's carnal. And this is what Michael Brown states. I think this is from, what, 2 months ago? In response to this controversy. He said, not to judge according to appearance, but practice righteous judgment. He says, I'm just going to find a quote, which is astonishing. Now you will see. Now you may still not like what Hillsong did, and you may not agree with them in their overall methodology, but the great reminder for me was this. I went through every scenario that I could think of. He went through every scenario, even though they're, and everybody could not acknowledge what Hillsong did was wrong. Very sensual. Kind of a woman modestly dressed, dancing around. I was like, you know, don't even watch it. It's a cabaret or something. I went through every scenario I could think of, trying to figure out any possible explanation for this travesty. I could find none. He went through everyone. He could find none. And, ooh, let's look. And then, trying to find the quote here. Then Hillsong gives him an explanation. So he's trying to find all this. I just quote here from his article that he did back in January. Obviously, I didn't have all the facts, but what possible explanation could there be? Does it matter? It's like somebody going into a, I don't know, shooting somebody dead. I wonder what explanation they had. Well, by the metaphor of me shooting somebody dead, I'm showing that they're spiritually dead. This works. No, it's either wrong or right. It doesn't depend on what explanation or excuse Hillsong can come up with. The whole cabaret's arrangement was atrocious, inexcusable, irreverent, mocking. The list goes on and on. Still, he didn't want to speak or act out of more information clearer. He said he didn't want to just speak. And then a Twitter follower shared with me a comment made by one of the pastors at Hillsong in Australia. He explained that this despicable version of Silent Night was designed to be cringeworthy in every way. In other words, it was intended to elicit kinds of responses that it drew. It was written and produced to portray Herod's alleged desire to worship the newborn king. Oh, that's like up there with, well, I watch pornography because I want to, or I show pornography to the church because I want them to see what kind of thoughts are going through wicked men's heads. It's up there with that stupidity. Do we really have to? This does not require refutation. It starts to become, when people argue like this, it starts to become pearls before swine. Oh, man. Are we really at this point in church history? Are we really at this low ebb? And he is respected and he can actually argue like this? He said, yet there was an explanation. It was one that I had never considered. Honestly, who would ever have thought of it without being told? In years past, when Nancy and I did more counseling, we would sit with a husband who would explain the side of the story, blah, 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 saying this other side of the story. Of course, there are plenty of things. And he ends up, by the end of the article, whitewashing it. But, and I'm skipping on a little bit just for the sake of time, but the Hillsong Unholy Night controversy reminds us that we must be very careful in how we make our judgments. Really? Even with this, not judging by mere outward appearances, but rather judging righteously. In this case, the outward appearances were damning, but there was more to the story than met the eye. What? Really? Again, you might still differ. Might still differ. You should still differ. There's no doubt about it. might still differ with Hillsong's Christmas presentation, and you might still take issue with some of the teachings or with the overall approach to ministry. But if these who completely threw them under the bus because of their cabaret, this should be a cautionary lesson. Oh, don't throw them under the bus because they have an explanation. Wait a minute. And at the end of this, there's a, you know, there's kind of a very good cartoon at the bottom of this article, which is shared by HillsongChurchWatch.com. Don't know how good of a website it is, but deals with obviously a lot of stuff relating to Hillsong. Basically, you know, this is what kind of it goes through. You can look at it in your own time, but yeah. Anyway, I won't go through it here. You'd have to look at the article yourself. Moral of the story is, just read the end of the... Even if Hillsong, this is summarizing the problem with Michael Brown, even if Hillsong tell you that they are deliberately causing people to sin and to stumble, never judge Hillsong at face value. You will always be wrong. Just, you know, you have to, what does the person say? What does the culprit say? No, what does the Bible say? Because you're more interested in what the charismatic figureheads say than you are about the Word of God, Mr. Brown. Anyway. Could go into other things, but I hope that's an... I hope that illustrates something. He admits in this article the great gullibility, the great, great gullibility of the charismatic church. And at the end, I just want to deal with this. Just to, by way of conclusion. He said, I stated in my authentic fire book that non-charismatics are to be commended for being careful not to be duped and misled. And by the way, if anybody wants me to do... People ask me sometimes to do refutations. I want to do a refutation on this book. I simply just don't have the cash to be spending on everything. If somebody really wants me to cover this or any other book for that matter, I have a thing on MegiddoFilms.org about donating books. If you have books that are terrible, heretical, contact me first. Just make sure. But... You know, if you have stuff in your library and you said, this is terrible, rather than throwing it in the bin, send it to me. It'd be great. I spend a lot of money getting these books, and I would feel a lot better if I didn't have to spend money giving them towards these heretics and false teachers, but how else do you get the material? So, you know what I'm saying? So, it's just a way of maybe helping you get rid of stuff and feeling that, you know, it's not just going to complete waste and in the bin, because you can't resell it. If it's a heretical book, don't resell it. And so that's on MegiddoFilms.org. There's like a little contact section, or email me, MegiddoFilms@gmail.com. Let me know what the book is. I'm especially looking for Timothy Keller books if people have wised onto him and want to sell me on Timothy Keller books. But anyway, he said, I stated in my authentic fire book that non-charismatics are to be commended for being careful not to be duped and misled. Yeah, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. Ephesians 5:15, as I mentioned earlier, I'm just going to read this. 5:15, this is, again, this is what scriptures tell us to do. See that you walk circumspectly, not as, what? Fools! Not as fools, but as wise. Because if you walk circumspectly, you're wise. Consulting the Word of God and being careful. Not foolish. This is what the Word of God says. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools. But what's Michael Brown's advice? Completely different. Careful not to be duped and misled, but they often display a cynical, skeptical spirit. Oh, skeptical is wrong. You know, test the spirits. I'm sorry to be incredibly sarcastic in the show. Actually, I've watched lots of Michael Brown. I try to listen to lots of radio shows. A lot of them, vast majority of them, I do not agree with. He says, but which is a weakness. So it's good that they're careful, but that they're cynical and they test things. Oh, no, that's not good. Which is it? It's self-contradictory. Charismatics, on the flip side, are to be commended for willing to step out in faith. What is faith? Is it acting like a fool, biblical fool, and not testing things, being gullible? But we often display an extreme gullibility. What's step out in faith? Being suspect. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We are told to be careful in all things. If you're not sure about a doctrine, you know, if somebody tells you about tongues, well, go home and study the issue. Let the word of God speak to you. Not audibly, but it's in the word, you know. But if you read it audibly, it is audible then. He contradicts himself. It is high time for this nonsense to stop, beginning with each of us reading this article. Yeah, hover around Michael Brown. Me included, searching our own hearts and lives. Yeah, this nonsense needs to stop. I agree. And it has to stop with people like you, Michael Brown. People who are leading people astray. With appearances on the Benny Hinn Show. He still doesn't seem to know and goes straight to his defense. In the only place he could be defended, I can't find any other way that anybody's ever tried to defend Benny Hinn. And he's reneged and gone back on what he said in that Charisma interview back in 1983. If Benny Hinn really wanted to repent, or any of these heretics wanted to repent, they need to do it publicly, very clearly, not in a little quiet interview that dates back to 1983. Anybody who's involved in Benny Hinn's ministry, everybody associates the little gods doctrine with Benny Hinn. Everybody! And Benny Hinn's not exactly going out of his way to refute that. He has the opportunity. And it's not just some kind of a strange anomaly. How many of these heretics, Creflo Dollar and on, a big long list of them, teach? Joyce Meyer teaches the little gods doctrine. And if you once taught that, it wouldn't be a great opportunity to go vocal publicly, because you have a platform, to refute it and show biblically why it's wrong. But the problem is not even the source of Benny Hinn's problems and heresies and all the other people is not necessarily these heretical false doctrines, damnable heresies. The problem is that it's this God told me. God told me to do this. It's the same with all of these crooks. God told me. Charles Taze Russell started Jehovah's Witnesses based on God told me. The Mormons was started by somebody who's saying, Joseph Smith saying, God told me. And whether they are lying, demonically possessed, or both, we don't know. But we know when we compare with the Word of God, it is false. And to believe them, and to ignore what the testimony of Scripture says, and to not be circumspect, is foolish. We are commanded to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This has been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.